Time now for the worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church here on AM 1380 WPHM Port Huron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Lord's house this day as we worship our great God. And that was Jeremy on the organ for our prelude as you tune in. Those on WPHM, we greet you from Our Savior, Port Huron. If you're listening by podcast or simulcast, we greet you from this congregation. We're approaching in April what will be our advanced birthday of 80 years. On the radio in Port Huron, formerly WHLS. My hunch is, though I don't have proof of it, that in 1938 there weren't too many channels on radio. So we were there first as a church, and we're glad to hold that position in history in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we thank the community sponsors who have made it possible, along with congregation members. This day's sponsorship is by Henry and Linda Kettles. Their birthdays are close together, so they chose to sponsor the radio, acknowledging that. The flowers are presented by Hope Dorsbacher for honor of her birthday and her mother's birthday this weekend. So we begin this day. It is service of the word. And if you'll please rise, we begin with confession. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who gathers us in the wilderness to redeem us, to anoint us, and to make us new. Amen. In these 40 days, let us be honest, confess our sin, and receive God's promise of mercy. God at the margins, we have wandered far from your home. Again and again, we lose our way. We turn inward, afraid of the world around us. We forget that you have saved your people before, and you promised to do it again. Do not remember the deeds of our past, but turn our faces towards the future, where your forgiveness is sure, your welcome is clear, and your love overflows. Amen. Like a hen who gathers her chicks, God embraces you in tender love. Like manna that's found in the desert, God feeds you with surprising mercy. Like a loving parent, God runs to meet you again this day, forgiving your sins for the sake of Christ, leading you from death into life. Amen. Our entrance hymn is "What Wondrous Love Is This?"
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Our hymn of praise, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'll join me in the prayer of this day, it's there on page 5. God of compassion, you welcome the wayward, and you embrace us all with your mercy. By our baptism, clothe us with garments of your grace, and feed us at the table of your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you'll please be seated, we have the reading of God's Word, first reading from Joshua. Jane is our lector.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jane.
By celebrating the Passover and eating the produce of the Promised Land instead of the miraculous manna that has sustained them in the desert, the Israelites symbolically bring their 40 years of wilderness wandering to an end at Gilgal. Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 5, verses 9 through 12. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have rolled away from you the disgrace of Egypt." And so that place is called Gilgal to this day. While the Israelites were camped in Gilgal, they kept the Passover in the evening on the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. On the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate the produce of the land, unleavened cakes and parched grain. The manna ceased on the day they ate the produce of the land, and the Israelites no longer had manna. They ate the crops of the land of Canaan that year. This is the word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jane. Second reading by Judy Avers.
Second reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Judy. If you're able to stand, please join me for the gospel acclamation. Speak together, please. I will arise and go to my Father and say, I ascend against heaven and before you. The gospel for the day is from Luke, 15th chapter, starting with verse 1 to 3 and continuing on to 11 to 32. Glory to you, O Lord. Now all the tax collectors, the sinners, were coming near to listen to Jesus. Pharisees and the scribes, they were grumbling and they're saying, this fellow welcomes sinners. He eats with them. So Jesus told them this parable. There's a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that belongs to me. So he divided his property between his two boys. A few days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and he traveled to a distant country. There he squandered his property in desolate living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country. He began to be in need, hungry and sheltered. So he went. He hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him to the fields so that he could eat the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, for nobody gave him anything. But when he came to himself, came to recognize his situation, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am still dying of hunger. I'm going to have to get up. I'm going to have to go to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now I'm not worthy to be called your son, so treat me like one of your other hired hands. So he set off. He went to his father, and while he was still far off, his father saw him. He was filled with compassion. He ran, and he put his arms around his son, and he kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, come, bring a robe, the best one. Put it upon him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get that fatted calf and kill it. We're going to eat and we're going to celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and now is alive again. He was lost, he now is found, and they began to celebrate. Now the elder son in the background was in the field. When he came up and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, your brother has come. Your father has killed the fatted calf, and because he got him back safe and sound. Well, when this son heard this, he became angry and he refused to go in the house. His father came out to him and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, listen. I've been here all these years and I've been working like a slave for you. And I've never disobeyed your commands. And yet you have never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes back, he who devoured your property and with prostitutes, you killed a fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, son, you're always with me and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead. He's come back to life. He was lost. He has now been found. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. If you'll please be seated. God's grace, God's mercy, God's peace be with us this day. Amen. beautiful lessons we have before us. The first one, kind of, if you would, try to put a headline, a title for this first reading, and we'll do it for the other two. Because sometimes when we personalize and internalize the Word of God, we find it helps us if we can put a handle on it. So each one can try to come up with their own title. I'll tell you what I think. As you read the Joshua account, we haven't been talking about Joshua at this point. We began Lent talking about Moses and the people out there on the trail. Let's give you some background. How long were they in the wilderness? How many years? 40. Good. God told Moses, it was one of our readings during Lent, that Moses would not see the promised land. Okay? And the reason they were 40 years isn't because they lost the maps, didn't have the technology of OnStar or GPS, but because of their sin. Okay. So in Joshua, our reading today, Moses is in charge. He died. The people that Joshua is speaking to have not been born in Egypt. Okay? Understand who he's speaking to. He's speaking to the first generation of those who have made it through the 40-year hike. Okay. They were promised a new land. Moses carried the message. He led them, but because of his sin and their sin, they were not going in. A new leader would arise, and God chose Joshua. Joshua says, okay, we're now reaching that point. We're leaving the old customs behind us. You're not going to get manna, you're not going to get quail, and we're not getting water out of rocks. You're going to go to the land that God promised you through your fathers, through Abraham, and you're going to have to work and till it so that you can eat by the sweat of your brow. You will celebrate the Passover in a new land, in a new way. A passage of time has taken place. The old is expired. The new is taking possession. It's not going to be an easy possession, because when you read the rest of Joshua, there's going to be battles and contentions for the land. It's not like the Canaanites and all the other tribes of the Gentiles are going to say, oh, here's an open door, come on in, any more than they do today. There will be fighting, unfortunately, for the promise to be manifested. So they go in, and a new day begins in the history of Israel. Old, new. Let's go to the second reading. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, second letter. First letter, he addressed all the issues that they had in terms of behaviors, adorizing certain gifts of the Holy Spirit, but not recognizing with importance all the other gifts, including love. So Paul goes on to say, when we look at another person, we don't look at them or other people with the same view we once had before we knew Jesus. Hold that thought. We know him no longer in that way. For if anybody is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Old, new. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled himself to us through Christ. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. So let's pause there before we go on. Now that we are in a new land in Jesus Christ, we don't look at each other and neighbor as enemy, but as a friend to be discovered, reconciled to all people through Jesus Christ. And it's in that understanding that we come to that reconciliation point. Now, that word reconciliation, for the last, well, I recognize it, 30 years. In a lot of communities, they have a reconciliation committee. sometimes a reconciler in the county to help people not take their case to court, to resolve it amiably among each other by listening to the complaints of the two parties. And if it's possible, seek for reconciliation without getting the legal things. That's secular. So reconciliation has that dimension of meaning. But for the New Testament and Christian, it means full-blown reconciliation, not just to solve one issue, but to solve the relationship we have with God. And this is done not by ourselves, Paul says, through Jesus Christ. All this is from God. He reconciled himself through Christ. He's given us now a ministry of reconciliation. Pause there. A lot of times Christians fight about sometimes, you know, maybe it's my opinion, maybe it's God's opinion too, shared. Sometimes we argue about things that are really minute, important, but not for salvation. We pick things that we think we can lord it over other people and think we're more knowledgeable. As Paul will criticize in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. You think you know something and you're arrogant enough, you're going to flaunt it, right? Like a peacock. So in that situation, you become now in Christ, not just the receiver of a bond healed between you and the Lord, but now you are to be an agent, okay? An agent of reconciliation, ambassadors to other people, where there's skirmishes, where there's fighting. One of the things I've recognized in human history, peacemakers usually get killed. Think about that in history. The ones who say, come together, let's solve it, they become the target of anger from both sides or three or four sides and take them down. Think about our history as a nation. Lincoln was not allowed to heal the United States after the Civil War, taken down. Think in the century of the 1900s, Martin Luther King said, you know, when he talked about racism, he made a lot of enemies, but he made most of his enemies, document this, when he talked about poverty between rich and poor in the United States. The theme of the Old Testament, live in peace and harmony. And certainly let justice roll down like waters is the passage out of Isaiah. When he touched that soft spot in the United States, he got more enemies than he ever expected. His last event was the March on Washington, D.C., dealing with poverty, not so much racism, but talking about equalizing the scales. And oh, that pulls out anger and hatred. He fell. Whenever we speak about peace, that's our mission. Whenever we say, let's try to solve this, we find that we're become the object of their anger and rage. But when we do it, we're in accordance with God and God's will. And if you remember the Beatitudes, Jesus applauds those, blessed are those who are peacemakers. It has the blessing of our Lord. And yet the world, of whom many Christians are, don't like to do it. They would like to talk about it. So God was reconciling the world to himself. He didn't count our trespasses against us. He entrusted now the message of reconciliation to us. We're ambassadors for Christ, since God is making an appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for your sake. He made him to be sin, who himself was without sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When God looks upon us, he sees Don Dorsbacher, a sinner redeemed. He sees Don Dorsbacher, received by Jesus Christ and reconciled to God, the Father God, and we are restored, reclaimed as the family. And he also sees a servant, for all of us are servants, to carry out the ministry of being an ambassador of reconciliation to the world. And again, I put in parentheses, that doesn't make you friends with the world. Jesus Christ knew as he hung on a cross, it doesn't make friends, it makes enemies. In the gospel, this is one that gets named, and I'll go back to the first two, for putting a title on each lesson. This one in a book by Helmut Tillich when I was in seminary was called The Waiting Father, The Prodigal Father. Prodigal means excessive, generous, flamboyant, okay? Everybody for history have called it the prodigal son, right? Wrong. It shouldn't be that. This is a story about God, not about the son. S-O-N. It is a parable about God's gracious nature, long-suffering mercy, and total forgiveness, and acceptance of the wayward one, the lost sheep. That father has to be crazy, right? That father would never do that, pass a parenting quiz. It'd be canned. You do that, you're just going to provoke codependency? People just giving up their attempts on themselves and just not working it through. That's what we say, and maybe that's true in a human dimension. It's not true for God. God is excessively generous to we who don't deserve it. When we look upon people and say, I give up on them, you ever say that about people? God does not give up on anybody. When we say, I've had enough, God never says that about you or me. When we say, I'm not going to forgive you, remember, forgive as you expect forgiveness back in the Lord's Prayer. No, God is extravagant. God is prodigal. He is overly generous. You know, we think of a parent, or if you ask a child, what would be the perfect Christmas? I'd say, a room full of toys that I get to open up the paper. All kinds of things. And we kind of measure it by the number of gifts, cards, Facebook, clicks, whatever. And God shows himself in the best gift of all, and it's just one sitting there. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, the world has kind of scorned that. Like, who wants to be a Christian? You must be crazy. You believe that stuff? That's just the figment of other people's creation. That's not true. It takes faith. That doesn't mean you're dumb or ignorant. You can learn. You can study, you can show yourself approved, and you'll find in Scripture and outside of Scripture enough evidence, not only that Jesus is real, Jesus historically lived, Jesus historically died, and the grave was historically empty. Resurrection. So who's the dummy? The one who does not believe, or one who believes with the evidence? We understand that God in time has taken upon himself. Yeah. Can you imagine this father? And if you've had a prodigal son, one who's left you, you understand there's rage inside of you, there's anger, there's self-justification. There's all kinds of things going on in the heart of a parent, who's even a Christian. And standing out in the alleyway, this is the way I picture it. There's an alleyway, because in my house in Pittsburgh, we had an alley behind our house. The father is standing out there, looking down this path. He's probably gone there many times before over the years, but nobody was walking back to him. And this one day, way in the distance, was a figure approaching him. When it was close enough, the father said, hey, that's my kid. I'm going to him. He ran down to receive him. He hugged him. Notice he kissed them. The ultimate sign of intimacy. That is the love God has for us. That is the God who comes running after us. In a book I've used several times here, it's called The Gospel According to Peanuts, using the comic strip. And the author likens Jesus Christ as the hound of heaven, the dog of heaven. That is to say, as he goes to explain it, he says, you know, in the prodigal son, God comes running after us. He's walking with us all the time, but finally we stop. He's pestering me. My cat does it to me when she wants food. They pester us until finally we stop and look and accept and rejoice in God's love for us in Christ Jesus. That hound is on our heels. That God is standing with us. That God wants to be recognized, that God wants to be honored, revered, respected, and worshiped. And that God calls us every day of our existence to receive him. I would call that the waiting Father who has an incredible love. In the first reading of Joshua, I'd call God's promises fulfilled, and now we start a new step in our journey. In the second reading of 2 Corinthians, of our old nature has died. Now we rejoice and live every day as new people. May the God of grace, who's on this journey with us in Lent, take us through Holy Week in 2 weeks and move us to the cross on Good Friday and rejoice. Unlike any time we've ever rejoiced on Resurrection Day, because Christ is God's Son and Christ is alive. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, remain with us always. Amen. Our hymn of the day, we sing our Father by whose name.
Thank you.
We continue with the affirmation of our faith, the creed. If you'll please rise. We speak our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our service continues with our prayers as Marcia leads us.
Seeking the grace, mercy, and love of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for people in need, and for all of creation. God of abundant grace, guide your church to look upon people as you look upon them, with compassion and as deserving of mercy. Shape us to be worthy ambassadors of Christ. Hear us, O God.
Our mercy is great.
Bestow dignity on migrant and seasonal farm and factory workers. When the time comes for them to leave jobs, provide new ways for them to make a livelihood. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Inspire musicians and poets to point to your unfathomable beauty and creativity. Enhance our vision of your holiness through their works. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Protect and preserve all people who look to you to be their hiding place. And we remember in our prayers today, Sharon Cunningham, Maria Romp, Jerry Willer, Barb Gruet, Lois Langoff, Stacy Kaiser, Susan Phillips, Jill Harper, Jeff Parker's Uncle David, and Michelle Walker. Lord, we also ask that you would comfort the family of Jeff Parker's Aunt Lucy with her passing, and Holly Allen's family with the death of her Uncle Rex. Lord, we thank you for the safe return of Paul DeJohn Jr. from his duty overseas. And we ask that you would be with all those serving our nation, both here at home and abroad, including Corey Middleton, Tristan Morrison, Jamie Sullier, Jaron Sullier, and Rob Nolan. Buy their respite from trouble and give them hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Erase the pain of trauma and the shame and stigma of social contempt. Change the hearts of those who bully or mistreat others and heal broken relationships. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Invite your whole company of saints into eternal joyful feasting. When we question your abundant mercy, soften our hearts to receive the gifts of faith and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers, and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing the Lord's Prayer this day.
Thank you.
be seated. We receive our gifts for the work of the Lord's church. As I mentioned before, the radio broadcast by Henry and Linda Kettles, the flowers by Hope Dorsbacher. Birthdays that have transpired as of last week are listed there. The birthdays that will be coming will be in your next now insert for the month of April. So to give you a preview for that. On the calendar for those in the community as well as us here, Tuesday night at 6:30 is our monthly meeting of trustees. Unless you hear of some reason for it to be canceled, figure on a meeting, 6:30. We've got a lot of stuff that needs to be addressed. So Wednesday, our worship attendance at Lenten services is not exactly impeccable. It's declined significantly as people choose not to worship. The 1 o'clock service, we had 13 last week, and the 7 o'clock service, we had 6. We're down. And it's not because of any issues in the congregation, it's due to lifestyles that don't include Lenten worship midweek. So for those of you who have not worshiped, I want to nudge you to worship during the Lenten season. Holy Week's 2 weeks away. We have a Monday, Thursday service, 7 o'clock. If you don't know what Monday means, impress your company, your family, and you might be on one of those TV game shows. Monday means new commandment. Okay, got it? Memorize. New commandment. What's the new commandment? It's based, that evening's theme, historically, is based upon Jesus when he says, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. By this the world will know you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Got it? You'll be quizzed on it next week. So, and then Good Friday, as we know in the community, we do a 1 o'clock service and we do a 7 o'clock service on Good Friday. No communion because of the seriousness, the solemnity of the crucifixion. Saturday morning, we will be meeting. I need about 6 or 8 guys to load up 2 or 3 pickups. We're going to load up some chairs, go up to Lakeside Cemetery, and there we'll set up a sanctuary. That chapel is going to look like here, so to speak, for sunrise service on Resurrection Day at 7:30. This has been going on for approximately 24 years. The city lets us sign it out. I pick up the key. We get in Saturday, we come back on Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection. Can I say I've seen groups do it at the lakeside when snow was falling? And I'm so glad I'm in a room where it's warm and not outside on some beach and wind blowing. So if you can join us, this service is open to the entire community. Join us, 7:30, Lakeside Cemetery. We're back here at the main chapel here of Our Savior, 6th and Wall Street, at 11 o'clock. Then both this Thursday and the following week, this Thursday is the 4th of 5 Lenten luncheons we do at St. John. Our Savior is providing the luncheon. We have a full slate. We have wonderful ladies who have planned it and are executing it. All I have to do is buy bread. That's a good deal. So we're going to assemble those sandwiches on Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, right? Judy, 9 o'clock. We'll take them over to St. John United Church of Christ, where we do the Lenten luncheons. 12 o'clock is when the lunch begins. And we've been running, I couldn't get a straight answer from Dick this last Thursday, but I think we've been running between 80 and 90 for the Lenten luncheon. The last one after that, before Holy Week, is hosted by the Roman Catholic Church. For those of you who may have old-time images of denominations in conflict and no reconciliation, just to tell your neighbors and yourself, the Roman Catholic Church participates with us, and we do with them. So that is in 2 weeks. Many other things I want to keep you aware of. On the table in the back as well as here, I've made a copy of what's called the Seder meal. Now this year I'm not doing the Seder, but I have done 5 times in the course of my 26 years here, the full-blown Seder. One of them, Shirley MacLaine and I cooked a lamb dinner for everybody. We did it the Hebrew way, all the recipes out of my Jewish cookbook and how to do it. But it is a custom in Judaism that Jesus did on the night in which he was betrayed, right? The beginning of Holy Communion. He took the elements of this meal. He gave him a whole new image, whole new meaning, as he described, "This is my body. This is my blood." The Passover lamb of a Hebrew dinner becomes for us, the New Testament church, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. So you might want to take one home for your information. I believe that's probably it. If you haven't gotten your newsletter, you can pick them up here. They're at both positions of doors, so you can have them for yourself. Our worship continues as our offering is presented. Please rise.
Let us pray. Generous God, you feed us with the harvest of the land, and you provide for our every need. Receive our gifts of money, imagination, and labor, and transform them into a feast that welcomes all. In Jesus Christ, our host and our guest.
Amen. God, who fills the creation with abundance, Christ who spreads his arms out in forgiveness, the Holy Spirit who draws us near to us, bless you and keep you to everlasting life. Amen. Closing hymn, As the Deer Runs to the River.
Thank you.
Go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God. The service has concluded at Our Savior, except for the postlude. And Jeremy will be playing music till our time is over at 9:30. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service of Our Savior Lutheran Church. Begins each Sunday at 8:30 here on WPHM, Port Huron.